It is so good to see everyone here this morning. What a great blessing it is. We're grateful for each and every one of you. And we all are continuously mindful of what a blessing it is for God to allow us to be here before Him in worship. I also wanted to say a howdy from Christy. She is staying home for another Sunday. Still has a little bit of the antibiotics in her, just kind of playing it safe. So she's going to give it another week before she comes back for worship. But again, we appreciate all the support and the food and just the kind words and the prayers. We're so very, very grateful for that. We say thank you. Now, we are this morning going to, and you probably saw it on that first slide, we're going to have part two to this three-part sermon series, and we're talking about walking worthy. And I was trying to think of a good illustration and to begin this, what we're talking about again this week. And you know, one of the things that came to mind about being fruitful is when I was in the military, whether it's the Marine Corps or the Army, and even to a little degree when I was in law enforcement, at least in the infantry as enlisted, that is, whether officers did this or not, you'll have to ask Brother Tom. If you don't make yourself at least look busy all the time, someone's going to find something for you to do. And it does not matter when or where, if someone, you know, sergeant or so, thinks you're not busy, they will absolutely find stuff for you to do. And so you're trying to be busy, you know, at least look busy. And there's an art to that. There's an art to looking busy when you're not busy. And you know, that was just part of it, because if not, someone's going to say, hey, I need a work detail, you're not busy, come with me, and then you're stuck doing whatever it was. And so I think, you know, when we talk about being fruitful, about going out and bearing fruit, walking worthy and bearing fruit, you know, we're not talking about busy work. Right, we're not talking about the appearance of being busy. Right, we're talking about a natural byproduct of being connected to the Lord. Now, I had a couple bags of tomatoes I was going to bring over here for everybody, because I forgot, because we're going to Missouri this afternoon. We'll be back Wednesday. You know, when I go out there, when I planted my tomatoes. You know, we're doing it in straw bales. You can kind of see the little garden over there. I did everything that needed to be done to grow tomatoes. Brother Ron gave me some tomato plants, but I had the straw bale, you know, soil, of course, you got to get it ready. And I did 10-10-10 and all that kind of stuff. And I put it in there, good, healthy soil. It got the right amount of water and sunlight. Now, when those little blooms started to come in, did I have to go to that tomato plant and just beg it to bear fruit? No. Right? It's just a natural byproduct of being attached to the tomato plant, the vine. I don't have to beg it to bear fruit. It does what it does. And so we're talking about that. We're talking about bearing fruit this morning in this sermon series. If you're attached to the vine of Jesus Christ, a natural byproduct of that is you're going to bear fruit. You know, when we talk about, well, we did last week especially, about how this has been a debate throughout the ages. Right? People want their lives to count for something. Right? And they ask, what is the purpose of life? Well, the purpose of your life is to be fruitful for the Lord. Right? The purpose of you in Christ is to walk worthy and to bear fruit. That is your purpose. When you do that, you glorify God. And so, if you remember this metaphor that Jesus gives, here once again. Look at this again here in John, the 15th chapter. Right? And so the Lord's going to give us a metaphor. Do you remember this? Let me just read verses 1 through 3, John 15. I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. My Father's a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You already are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So in the metaphor, we don't have to guess what means what in this. Right? He says, I'm the vine. Right? Jesus is a vine. And his disciples are the branches coming off the vine. Now, who's going to take care of this vineyard? Well, it's God the Father. He's the vine dresser. Right? And we read a quote from an agricultural expert last week and how this all works. Remember that? And the vine dresser is going to get in there and he's going to start cutting off branches. And if you didn't know anything about the process, you may be thinking, well, why does he do that? You know, more branches, more fruit. Well, that's not the way it works. Right? You've got to cut off. I did that with my tomato plants. You know, all those little lower branches you get, those little off, you got to break them off. I was pruning my tomato plants. You know, and with grapevines, you remember we talked about, and I even had a few images here that we're going to look at. You know, sometimes a vine dresser gets those branches down at the bottom and not only prunes some, but cleans them up and gets the dirt and the mud, and they start to train those branches to grow up toward the sunlight. And so in these images here, I want you to think about this morning, right? That right there is an unpruned grapevine. And it's overproducing. So in that, you know, you're going to get small little bitter fruit. And of course, the image you see now is a grapevine that's been pruned. And it's been cleaned. And the branches have been trained to grow up toward the sunlight. So what I want you to think about with this whole metaphor here and what Jesus is talking about, you know, which one of those describes you spiritually? Right, the overgrown vine? Or you're an individual who says, Lord, yes, I want you to prune me, cut away the things that will help me bear more fruit, because I'm attached to your son, the vine, to Jesus Christ. Right? Which one describes you? Listen, if you're attached to the vine of Jesus Christ and you allow God to prune you, you're going to bear fruit. Right, so maybe you're kind of thinking, well, you know, I'm not really producing any fruit for the Lord. Well, some self-inventory here. You need to ask that hard question. Number one, are you even attached to the vine of Jesus Christ? And number two, maybe the problem is you're not allowing him to prune you, to clean you with his word. And so, you know, I don't know, I jumped ahead a couple slides there, but we had those two main questions. What is this pruning that we're reading about? And what does it mean to bear fruit? All right, so last week, a little more mainly today, we're looking at number one. What is this pruning? I'm going to mention a little bit about the fruit in here, but next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the fruit more. Right? And so we're going to continue thinking about what is this pruning? What does it look like? And if you remember, we looked at two passages last week. I want to just quick reminder here. We looked at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And we all know the passage really well, right? So how is God going to prune us? Well, here it's a sword. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword, right? And it's going to pierce way down in there, the division of the soul and the spirit, right? All the way to the marrow, right? He's talking about his word. Same thing in John 15 and verse 3, right? It is God's word if we'll allow him. Now, earlier in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, he says, you know, be careful of that hard heart. That's the result of sin in your life. Right? Any unresolved sin, we're gonna make our hearts harder and harder, and it's gonna be so much more difficult for the Word of God to get in there, and that's on us. And God says, if you'll allow me, my word to get in there and start cutting away what needs to be cut away. And then we looked at Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. It teaches us that God promises, because he loves us, that he will discipline us, he will correct us, if we'll allow him in that pruning and cleaning process. We're going to be trained by it. You remember that? You got your Bible open? Hebrews 12 and verse 11. And with all of that in mind, the question becomes, what will we do? Because he makes it really clear in this verse that at the moment I receive that correction, it's going to be painful. I'm not going to like it. It's not going to be joyful. But he says, I'm doing this so that you will bear the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Right? You know, it'll benefit you. You're going to produce. But you have to allow God to discipline you, to chasten, to admonish, to punish, to correct. And he does that through his word. And remember the illustration we looked at, talked about last week was, I'm sure there's individuals here in this auditorium right now, if we could go back in time to the old you, 5 years ago, 10, maybe 40 years ago, and we could talk to the old you and say, you know what? August 2nd, 2026, you're going to be sitting in a worship service, worshiping God, singing praises to God, and that old you would have laughed. That's not me. Nope, won't happen. But here you are. What happened? You allowed God through that time to cut away what needs to be cut away from your life. Cut away some things, clean up some things. Right now you have a better understanding. That's why you're here right now in worship. That's the way that it works. All right, we're going to look at the third passage here concerning pruning in your Bible. So if you would, I'd like you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And again, we're looking at two more passages here concerning pruning. And I want you to read this with me, and you probably know this verse very well. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now think about God pruning our lives. And so here he's telling us directly, right? Here are some things that God is going to do for us directly coming into our lives. Right? If we're willing to walk with him step in step, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to endure, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may bear up under it. Now, isn't it interesting how many times we find what the Lord does for us? Right? In this pruning process, that's actually very positive. This is a positive thing. Right? And we've talked about the pruning process. And again, it's not always just the cutting away, but also there's that cleaning up. And so this is kind of one of those times, I think. Right? This is one of those times where God says, listen, I'm the vine dresser, and here's what I'm going to do for you. Because you're connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, and you have an enemy that absolutely wants to destroy you. But because you're mine, I'm not going to let him destroy you. Right? You have an enemy that would love to put upon you more than you could bear. more than you'd be able to overcome. You have this enemy that would just love to shut the door of escape on you. Remember Job? Job chapter 1, you remember this? In the story, just think about this dialogue between Satan and God here real quick. Chapter 1, beginning about verse 7. I want you to think about who's in control here. I'm not going to read it all, right? You know, just kind of summarize. Yeah, Satan, he's wanting to destroy Job. But it was God who put those parameters there. No, you can't touch him at all at first here. And then God says, okay, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. Now, brethren, I'm not claiming to know all of the ways that God works. It's, you know, especially if it's not revealed in his word, I just don't know. But I know what he's revealed. Right? And he showed, for example, in the story of Job, he gives us teachings like this where he says, listen, I will not allow him to put more upon you than you can bear. And isn't that a beautiful picture of pruning? He says, you walk with me, I'm going to protect you. He's saying, I want you to know that. You know, and you need to know Satan is absolutely trying to destroy you. Listen, I'm not going to let him destroy you. So how much can you bear? Now think about a time in your life, you know, maybe that's happening right now. But your life was just filled with heavy burdens. You been there? And you're thinking, you know, Lord, I don't know how much more I can carry. Lord, this burden, I tell you what, it's getting pretty heavy. Now, how much weight, you know, back here in 1 Corinthians 10 again, how much weight would Satan throw upon you if he had no limits to what he was allowed to do to you? Do you realize that what we're talking about here is real? Right? If God led Satan, he would destroy you with a heavy load this very week. And God says to Satan, you know, I'm not going to let you do it. You know, they can't handle that, and you're going to stop right there, and you're not allowed to trap them. God says, I'm going to make a way of escape for them so that if they choose, verse 13, if they choose to stay connected to the vine, they're going to have a way of escape out of this. You know, sometimes, you know, we probably feel like we're carrying our maximum. And maybe you are. Right? But we can rest in faith, what I read right here. Nobody is carrying more than they could bear. And again, also, God is making sure there's a way of escape. How do we do that? Well, if you're connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, that's a promise of the vine dresser. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, our fourth passage here, our scripture reading earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, this is an amazing story. Now, first, when you're reading this, you know, it's kind of hard to tell if Paul's talking about himself or somebody else, but you kind of keep going down in this event he's recalling. You go, oh, well, Paul's talking about himself. Right? We don't know if the Lord took him up into paradise or maybe just in a vision. Either way, he got to see something that apparently humans aren't allowed to see and then come back and talk about it. I think that's important to understand here. You know, and sometimes also, if you're like me and you read about Paul, you're like, man, Paul's about perfect. But I got to remind myself that he was human. You know, Paul just almost seems you know, supernatural, almost perfect. And Paul almost seems like a guy we'd look at and say, oh, you know, he would never struggle with such things as pride or arrogance. But you know what? Right here in this story that we're reading of, God looks down at him and he says, I tell you what, I'm going to intentionally allow you to suffer because you have seen things that would raise your arrogance, raise your pride above measure. And what the implication is here was that that would be very dangerous for a soul. He could lose his soul. I don't know if you ever put that all together. Paul, I'm going to allow you to suffer because I love you. And if I didn't allow you to suffer, your pride, your arrogance might be so great that you just might lose your soul. What was he praying about here? Well, there was something that was a hindrance. Right? The way that Paul viewed it in his life, in the scripture, of course, silent. Whatever this thorn in the flesh was, we don't know. But we know that it was really, really bad. Because remember, three times, what does he do? He prays to the Lord to remove it. And so Paul is basically saying, I had a time in my life when I did not have to deal with this. Lord, I want to go back to that time. Lord, please take it away. Verse 7 again, right? Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And lest I should be exalted above measure. And that's not a good thing. It seems the temptation is to exalt himself. But then in verse 8, concerning this thing I pleaded. Parakaleo in the original language. I urged, I beseeched the Lord. I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And we see the answer in verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. Notice he didn't say, I'll remove it. What does he say instead? We'll read the whole verse together. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What kind of pruning is taking place here? Here's a man who has great pain in his life, a man that's devoted his life to God. And just like there's many here in this room, right, you've devoted everything to God year after year after year. And how easy is it to thank God, I'm your faithful servant, please remove it. And you notice here that it was Satan that brings this message of pain. And it's God that had the power to remove it. But it's God that says, I know this pain is going to humble you for your benefit. That's not easy to accept. God says, I would rather you be in pain and be humble and be faithful then have no pain in your life and be arrogant and become unfaithful. Listen, many, many people that are unfaithful to the Lord, it's simply, in my opinion, because they've suffered no pain. And all they do is seek comfort in this life. It's all about make my life easy, 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 and comfortable. And so therefore they struggle with their faith. Now you might say, well, that sounds cruel. No, notice the answer here. God says, I'm going to take my strength and I'm going to couple it. We're going to have this partnership. I'm going to take my strength and your weakness, and we're going to have this perfection. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And friends or brethren, that's pruning. And it may not feel good at the moment. And God would respond, my greatest concern is not whether you're comfortable and pain-free in this physical life. God says, my greatest concern is what happens to your eternal soul. So if it takes pruning, pruning needs to happen. Cleaning needs to happen. And if that involves pain and discomfort and difficulties, if that's what's good for your soul, that's what I want to have in your life. Now, real quick here, we're going to begin to wind down in just a moment. You remember what Jesus says in Matthew 10 and verse 28? He says, do not fear those who can kill the body, but not the soul, but rather fear him who can kill or destroy both body and soul in hell. Do you remember that? You see what the Lord is doing here? The Lord is saying, I want to help you out, and you think the help is to remove the pain. And God says, no, I'm looking toward eternity. And what I see is actually that thorn can be a benefit for your eternal soul. God says, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to come in and I'm going to give you strength so that your faith is greater than the trial that you face. Right? And you start to put it all together and it starts to make just a little bit more sense if we're willing to look. Right? And please let that sink in. And if you don't remember anything from this lesson but that, let that be what you take home with you. You know, what if that became our prayer? Instead of God constantly remove this thorn, this pain, this discomfort, what about instead if our prayer became, you know, God, I know that you're not going to remove all the pain from this earth, from my life in this physical earth. I know that you're not going to remove all of the losses and the death and the temptations and the challenges of this life. But God, my prayer is that my faith will always be greater than the trial, than the pain, than the challenge, than the temptation. What if that's our prayer? In times of great pain, can we honestly say his grace is sufficient? I know that's not easy, right? But that's the kind of faith that we need to have. That's the kind of faith we need to grow. And the Lord is, he never gives up on us. He's still working on us. He's constantly working on us. Now, here's what I want to do as we finish up this lesson. I want to do a little bit of a review. Bear with me. Back up again and ask this, you know, how is God going to prune us? Right? Hebrews 4:12, right? His word, sharper two-edged sword. Right? And John 15 and verse 3. Right? He's going to train us with his word, cut away with his word. Allow the word of God to get in there and cut away what needs to be cut away. After you remember this, ever happened to you? You've been a Christian for a period of time and maybe you begin to do something you ought not do. Maybe you're allowing your eyes to start watching something you ought not see. And then you start to think, oh, I need to be careful. I remember the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. That's the word of God. Right, telling you don't do that, and you get it. You know what? You're right. I'm not going to do that. That's what this is. And the second thing was there in Hebrews 12, and this is how we allow God's word, if we're willing, to correct us, chasten us, admonish us. And we get a choice. We can reject this correction, but we will never bear the fruits, the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Right? This is a choice that we have. Will we allow God to admonish us? And I'm going to do this out of order here, at least for a reason in my mind. This last thing that we just talked about, I want to do that before number three here. Right, we saw here in 2 Corinthians 12, we need to be willing to suffer pain and keep the faith. In other words, instead of saying, Lord, if you love me, why am I hurting? How about instead we say, Lord, in the midst of my pain here, I pray that my faith is greater than this pain. You know, a passage that probably see it quite a bit on Facebook. People will post this or makes up a neat little, I don't know what you call them, not a picture or something like that. We have different ones all over our house. We have different verses on it. Aren't you, you know what I'm talking about? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Love it. One of my favorite passages. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You realize that that sounds pretty. It looks good on a little placard or a sign. It looks pretty until we actually put that into action. Right? What about when the pain seems so hard and we don't understand where it's coming from? Right, and we understand why it's there. Are we willing to say, still, Lord, I trust in you. I trust in you with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. Are we willing to quote and live that passage even in the midst of great trial and pain? One more thing here. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Right, the Lord wants to protect us. We need to understand that. He knows we have an enemy that's trying to destroy us. He knows that enemy a whole lot more than we know our enemy. And he's going to limit that great accuser, Satan, to what he can do against us. So consider this, then we're going to offer the Lord's invitation. Back in John 5, verse 2, you know, why do we want to be pruned? Right, we talked about this. I want you to consider this morning, he says he prunes those who want to bear more fruit. Why? So that they may bear even more fruit. And also be mindful that this is one of the three proofs of discipleship in the book of John. Abide in his word. Love one another. And be fruitful. Right, if you're having questions, you know, am I his disciple? Right, are you abiding in his word? You love your brethren? And are you being fruitful? And so we put this in. We're going to make more application and finish up next week. But what I really, really want you to think about this morning is if I abide in Christ because I'm allowing him to prune me, a natural byproduct is I'm going to bear fruit, more fruit, more fruit. Right? It is a never-ending process. And remember from that text there in John chapter 15 also, what he does with the unproductive vines. Right, that vine dresser is removing those dead vines, and they're cast aside and they're burned. So this morning, if you're here and you are not attached to the vine of Jesus, you need to ask the question, how do I do that? Because that's the only place where life resides, is if you're attached to the vine of Jesus Christ. Let's sit down, let's look at that, let's study it. Let you see what God says concerning that. You need to obey the gospel. Right? Putting on Christ with the response of faith. And if you don't know what that is, let's look at that so you can understand it better. Maybe you've done that, but along the way you lost your way. Maybe sin hardened your heart. You stopped allowing God to prune you, and now you're disconnected from the vine. Good news is you can reconnect. You're still alive. Right? Jesus hasn't come back. You can start over. Right? Allow God to humble you for the benefit of your faith. If you have any need whatsoever this morning, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.